how it happened to my music. Is it on? Well, good evening, everybody. I hope it's this evening. I hope I'm on. This is Her with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. I'm here in New York City, in my home, and let's see, it's 7 o'clock on my time, Thursday. What do I tell you? Let's see, the sun's not out. Let's see, it's cloudy. Okay, I think I got that under the way. So, tonight's show, that'll be interesting. If everything works correctly with the Blog Talk Radio this evening, today, wherever you are, I'm going to have my first guest will be Teresa High. Yes, High. She's the owner of High Country Orchards. We're going to be talking about peaches. Remember I was at the Peach Festival last week? I know you listened. You listened real close to that whole thing. Or was it last week? No. Last week I talked about the Peach Festival. The week before I was at the Peach Festival. And then we have Chubby Checker is going to be on the line. He's going to be calling in. Yes, the Chubby Checker, the Twistin' Chubby Checker. And then later on we have a spa out from Long Island in Port Jefferson called Body Wise Spa. And we're going to be talking about not just the spa itself, but how all these treatments are done, what's entailed, as well as what got these women into choosing the type of things they did. One woman who is into basically facials, while the other woman that I'll have on is into more of the massages and the body wraps. So we'll be talking about that. And of course, you know, it's time to take a commercial break of you know what.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Oh, yeah. I'm out of them. I will have to call Fairy Tale Brownies and get some. I'm not out of chocolate, though. Fortunately, I have some bars of chocolate, Belgian chocolate, in my refrigerator for me to munch on later after the show. I've been peaching out today, aside from having a peach. And I'll talk about one of the products that I got from High Country Orchards, which was a spicy peach salsa. So that's one little item we'll be talking about, because they do have other things other than their peaches. Okay, so what I got, Barbara Coletta emailed me about Dear Dogs and Cats to be posted very low on the refrigerated door. Pet nose height. Dear Dogs and Cats, the dishes with the paw prints are yours and contain your food. The other dishes are mine and contain my food. Please note placing a paw print in the middle of my plate and food does not stake a claim for it becoming your food and dish, nor do I find that aesthetically pleasing in the slightest. The stairway was not designed by NASCAR and is not a racetrack. Beating me to the bottom is not the object. Tripping me doesn't help because I fall faster than you can run. I cannot buy anything bigger than a king-size bed. I am very sorry about this. Do not think I will continue sleeping on the couch to ensure your comfort. Dogs and cats can actually curl up in a ball when they sleep. It is not necessary to sleep perpendicular to each other, stretched out to the fullest extent possible. I also know that sticking tails straight out and having tongues hanging out the other end to maximize space is nothing but sarcasm. For the last time, there is no secret exit from the bathroom. If by some miracle I beat you there and manage to get the door shut, it is not necessary to claw, whine, meow, try to turn the knob or get your paw under the edge and try to pull the door open. I must exit through the same door I entered. Also, I have been using the bathroom for years. Canine or feline attendance is not required. The proper order is kiss me, then go smell the other dog or cat's butt. I cannot stress this enough. To pacify you, my dear pets, I have posted the following message on our front door. To all not pet owners who visit and like to complain about our pets. 1, they live here, you don't. 2, if you don't want their hair on your clothes, stay off the furniture. That's what they call it. Furniture. 3, I like my pets a lot better than I like most people. 4, to you, they are an animal. To me, he, she is an adopted son, daughter, who is short, hairy, walks on all fours, and doesn't speak clearly. Remember, dogs and cats are better than kids because they, 1, eat less. 2, don't ask for money all the time. 3, are easy to train. 4, normally come when called. 5, never ask to drive the car. 6, don't hang out with drug-using friends. 7, don't smoke or drink. 8, don't have to buy the latest fashions. 9, don't want to wear your clothes. 10, don't need a gazillion dollars for college. And 11, if they get pregnant, you can sell their children. Thank you so much, Barbara. I know that Mallory does this thing. She doesn't race me down the stairs. She races me up the stairs. She waits for me, but she doesn't race. She waits for me to get about halfway up the stairs and then races up because she doesn't think she thinks I'm getting too old. And she thinks perhaps I don't know the rest of the way, so she has to lead the way. That's what I find out with my dear cat. But I thought that was just wonderful. I did get some other things as I'm waiting for my call in person. I did get some other things. Let's see if this is the one. No, let's see. Because I do get, my friend sent me lots of interesting things to read and, you know, on the air. Let's see if I can find, no, this must be further down. Especially my friend Wayne, who I call Nuh, only because I have a friend Wade, and I have to call him Duh to get the difference between the two. Well, they're both quite different. Different. Okay. I'm looking for this thing, but I can't find it. Well, I'm sorry. I'll just have to find you know, find it some other time. Oh, where did I just, okay. Why is it doing that?
Well, they're both quite different.
Wait a second. I have to stop this here. It has me listening to myself. This is going to be weird. I don't want to listen to me. Okay. I just turned off listening to myself, because all I'll be doing is hearing a repeat of what I'm saying into the telephone. So, anyway, let's see. Let's hear a bit of music. Let's see. Well, I'll do this before he comes on, but yeah, just so we can, you know, who I'm talking about later. Now you know who I'll be talking later on with when I get Chubby Checker. But in the meantime, I think we got Teresa calling in, do we?
We do.
Oh, how are you?
Fine. How are you, Meryl?
Just great. Well, I had a peach already.
All right.
And I just had, today I tried the salsa, the spicy salsa.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what to do. I took some chicken and cooked it up with the chicken.
Wonderful.
And it wasn't too spicy. I'm not big on hot stuff, so it wasn't too spicy. But I did, just in case, because I didn't taste it first, just in case I had a glass of milk on the sauce. just in case.
All you need is a glass of wine with this.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, so what we want to talk about is, tell us about the orchard that you have, and the, you know, for the peaches.
All right. Well, we have orchards in Palisade, Colorado, and Palisade is known for their peaches, and they have been for over 100 years. In August of 2004, Gourmet Magazine did a blind taste testing of all the peaches in the United States, and they chose Palisade peaches as the very best peaches in America. And we actually state that on our boxes and in our advertisement. But we do have the biggest, the best, and the sweetest peaches in the United States.
Well, I have to admit it, they're definitely much better than Georgia peaches. So tell us about that. It's not like you have one type of peach, that there's a variety.
Yes, we do grow about 20 to 25 different varieties of peaches, and the reason that we do that is because each variety comes off at a different time during the harvest season. That makes it so that we can have a harvest go on for 2 months rather than having all the peaches come at once and have us not be able to pick them all. So we do. That's the main reason that we have different varieties. For the most part, what you want to do in a peach is get it nice and sweet and big and juicy. The way to do that is to plant it in an area where the climate conditions and the soil conditions work well with the kind of product that you're trying to grow. So we do have cool evenings in Colorado, and our trees do go dormant in the winter, which is what causes the strong flavors and the high sugar and acid content in our fruit.
And in terms of the varieties, like if I were tasting them, would I taste something different in each variety?
Well, you would, in the way that it's similar to tasting wine. If you have 5 bottles of Chardonnay, they're all going to taste similar. They're all going to taste like the Chardonnay grape, but they'll all have little different intricacies, where one might taste a little little sweeter than another, or a little drier than another, or have a little bit of a hint of a different flavor. But for the most part, the key to quality peaches is not so much the variety as it is the way that you grow them and the conditions that they grow under. So, for instance, we tree ripen our peaches similar to a vine-ripened tomato. You probably have gone to the grocery store and gotten a tomato that's still green, brought it home. It'll turn color, but it's not going to taste any sweeter than the day that you picked it up off the shelf. Same thing with the peaches. If you pick them green, they'll turn color, but it's keeping them on the trees as long as you can before they get too ripe that increases the sugar content and makes them sweeter and juicier and bigger.
So if this is a basic thing with anything that you're growing, that's like, you know, fruits or, I guess fruits, yeah.
Yes.
That you're keeping them there and eating them at their freshest. But I guess the problem is and when, and I'm just going to say, like, for instance, like Georgia peaches, and I live in New York, and by the time, I mean, they may be packing them when they're not ripe and not really sweet.
That's correct.
And then by the time I get them, or by the time then they ship them, and then I buy them, or they're hanging around, and whatever, by the time I have them, and but I know when I wind up getting them, they're hard.
Right.
And then all I do is like, okay, I leave it at till they get soft, but they don't get any sweeter.
That's correct. And when I ship my peaches over the internet, like the peaches that you received in the mail,
yeah,
I pick them and put them immediately into the box and ship them to you that day. So that means they were picked that day. So they are going to be firm when I pick them from the tree.
Right.
But the key is that I pick them at the perfect ripeness so that the sugar content has gotten as high as it's going to get without the peaches getting overripe. So I pick them at that perfect time. I put them in the box. I ship them to you. When you receive them, they should still be pretty firm. The key there is then you want to leave them on your cupboard and let them ripen, but you'll find that once they ripen, they are going to be very sweet versus the ones that are picked green. They're still going to have that firmness when they ship them to you, but even when they turn color and look ripe, they're still not going to taste very good. So that's the difference between the California and the Georgia and really anyone in the world that picks their fruit too green, okay? And the reason that people do that is because it's expensive to go through and pick the trees several times and pick them just when the particular peaches on that tree are ripe. And then you come back again and pick the next group of peaches that are ripe on that tree, and you come back, and we do that 3 or 4 times. Most of the large growers don't do that. They go through and they pick everything at once. So all the peaches on that tree are at a different ripeness on that day, but they go ahead and pack them that way. So a couple of those peaches might be nice and sweet, but the rest of them aren't going to be, won't have their sugar yet. So it's more expensive to do what we do. The other is when you tree ripen them, the peaches are going to be more ripe and softer. And in order to be able to pack them and get them into a box so that they don't bruise up, you have to have an expensive packing machine. It's called a digital machine, and that's what we have. That means that the peaches run through the packing line and get a picture taken of them, and then they're told which lane to go in. They're selected which lane to go in, where most of the packing lines that are out there, they're mechanical, and the peach has to drop through a hole to size it. In order to do that, it has to be pretty hard. That's the reason that people pick their peaches green. Because by the time they get to the box, they're going to be all bruised if they go through a mechanical packing machine and they're tree-ripened peaches. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. But and now I understand also, like, I live in Queens, and there are a lot of farms out on Long Island. And, like, if I go to the farms or the farm stands, I find that the price of the produce is a little more expensive than if I buy it in a grocery store. But now I understand that when I'm getting it, I'm also getting, I'm paying for the freshness. I'm paying
That's
for,
correct.
And which is, you know, I'm paying for the taste and the freshness and the quality, which is more important than just like getting some old tomato or you know, whatever it is, and it's, you know, and you're just throwing into the salad and just saying, okay, I ate a tomato, as opposed to enjoying the tomato.
Exactly, and it goes back to, it holds true for any farm-grown product right now. If you look at corn, for example, any of our produce that is now farmed on large manufacturing facilities, they do everything in a very efficient manner so that they can bring the product to market at a less expensive price than the smaller farmers do, which hand do everything, and we do things according to the way that, you know, things should ripen versus the way that the machine or the manufacturing facility does it, so that they can get quantity to keep the prices down. But once again, and I think there's no truer statement when it comes to produce, is you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And when you go out to those farm markets, you know, you're going to get something that has been hand-picked or hand-packed or hand-grown the way that I just described to you that we do it. And the bottom line is, you know, Mother Nature meant for fruit to be and produce to be grown not by a machine, but by human beings. And that's why it's kind of like the Walmart syndrome, you know. When you can get hair dryers at Walmart, or you can get them at a distributorship that you know handles premium quality products. But in order for Walmart to get that hair dryer at half the price of a premium quality outlet, you can bet that the makings that went into that hair dryer only cost them half as much to begin with. So they're using cheaper products. They're using cheaper materials to build those products that sell for half price. So anymore, really and truly, you are getting what you pay for out there. I truly believe.
Yeah. No. You're absolutely correct. Which is why we have problems with the things coming from China, I guess, huh?
That's, you got it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening. And it's because we're so price conscious in this country. And I think we're going through a real awakening here with the price of gas, et cetera. The rest of the world has paid $6 and $7 and $8 a gallon of gas for many years. And now, you know, the reality of it is hitting home here. And if you go to anywhere, outside of the United States, you're going to find out that food is much more expensive than it is here. But they also pride themselves in quality. And that's really what I think we need to get back to. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing with the premium peaches, is because I believe in quality and I believe in taste. And I believe there are a few things left to enjoy anymore that aren't totally processed in our lives. And one of them is dining. And the quality of the food that goes in your system is more important than anything else. And I think that we are getting back to recognizing the fact that if we want to have something that tastes like a peach, we're probably going to have to go back and grow it like a peach.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you heard, but I had heard about with the salmonella thing that it traced back to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, well... And the problem is that then we buy outside of the United States.
That's right.
You know, and there were other things, I'm sure, but yeah.
It's back to being price conscious instead of quality conscious.
Yes. Yes, and I mean, if you think about it, like, I'm sorry, you may have to, you know, you may have to give up your bottle of soda to have milk. You know, I mean,
that's right.
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. There's no nutrition in having soda, you know.
Exactly.
You know, so you have to look at what you need to give up to have, to have something different.
Well, I think what it's going to come down to is Americans are going to get, if they haven't already, sick of eating plastic. And basically, that's what fast food is. There's no nutrition in most of it, just like you mentioned. It doesn't even taste good anymore. And I think that if people are going to want to go back to enjoying the simpler things of life, they're going to have to get focused back on quality instead of quantity. We're so much about quantity, everybody, you know, having to have so much of everything all the time. I do believe that's a big change that is going to have to happen. And if we want to enjoy life, we need to get back to enjoying the simple pleasures, and that's, again, quality rather than quantity.
Oh, definitely. I understand. Oh, by the way, did you want to say something about your little 10-year-old darling there? Is he 10?
My Heidi and Bruno? Yeah, they're my Weimaraners. They're puppies. They're actually.
I'm talking about the one that has the brain of a 26-year-old, but giving the tours.
Oh, my son.
Yes.
I thought you said my dogs. I have two puppies that we just got. Weimaraner puppies. But my sons, yes. I'd love to talk about my sons. Who wouldn't want to talk about their kids? Yes, Keenan High is my 10-year-old son who is he is the store manager, and he just gave my 65-year-old lady who works at the store, he just gave her a raise and promoted her to assistant store manager now. But Keenan is our store manager, and he does the tours, and he actually left her a list. He had to go back to school while Sherry stayed here to help me close up shop for the rest of the season, and she's been managing the store while he's been back at school in fifth grade. And he wrote her a letter before he left, and he gave her step-by-step instructions on how she should give the tours.
It's so funny. It was so cute watching him. I mean, we were, commenting on, like, he has the, but he has the, not the brain, but he has the life of a 26-year-old.
Yeah, he does. He's got a personality.
And it's so cute to watch him, you know, like this little 10-year-old kid knows everything.
He does. He knows more about the tours. And you know how it started was I was giving the tours last year, and it came to Peach Festival time, and we had so many people that I couldn't handle all the tours. So he took it upon himself to help his mother out, and he just took a tour on by himself. And when they got back from that tour, the people were so complimentary of him that I said, Keenan, why don't you take the next tour? So pretty much that's how it began. And from there on out, he just said, I'll only do the tours, Mom, if you let me do them by myself. So I started to just sort of survey the customers as they came back, the visitors as they came back from the tours, and ask them how he did. And the comments were just so encouraging and really over the top. You know, just they would get off of the little tour tram that we have and just be holding their stomach laughing when they came in and just saying, that was the best we've ever had. And it just made me know that not only is Keenan doing a good job on the tours, but he's giving people what they want to see and hear, and that's the reality of life on the farm, you know, the whole family experience.
That was great. Because all of a sudden I see this little kid hopping this little. Well, he first didn't come on the tram. He didn't take a tram. He hopped in some vehicle.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, who is this kid, and why are they allowing him to just drive something?
Yeah.
But then, well, not all of a sudden he started talking, and he was like, he wasn't like suddenly he wasn't 10 years old.
Yeah. Well, he's building a reputation for our orchards, and it's basically going. We're gonna have to put a sign up that says "Tours by Keenan."
Okay. Yeah. I also want to just kind of quickly get to that. Now you're growing peaches, but you do grow other things, right?
Yes, correct. We grow Bing and Rainier cherries in June, and after that we go into the apricots, and then the peaches, and then the plums. And in about 3 weeks from now, I'll be harvesting our wine grapes. We have about 30 acres of wine grapes. We have 25 acres of Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's in six different clones. They are the clones of Opus 1. If there are any listeners that are familiar with California wines, Opus 1 is one of the better wines of California. And there are six different clones of Cabernet that make up that wine. And we planted those same clones out here to emulate a similar quality wine made from Colorado. So hopefully we'll be seeing putting out a bottle or two of that wine in a year or two. This is our first vintage, and we'll have it in oak barrels for at least 2, maybe 3 years before we can sample that. But we have also planted some brand new Petit Verdot vineyards around the facility here, and we also have another 5 acres of Cabernet Franc, which we'll use to blend into our new vintages.
Wow. And by the way, the cherries that you said, that's two different varieties, is that?
Yes. The Bing cherries are the big red Bing cherries that you're probably used to seeing. I don't know if you get big ones in New York, but we have big red cherries. And then the Rainier, which are the yellow Queen Anne sweet cherries. And these are These are about 1.5 inches in diameter. They're just not quite 1 inch in diameter. But anyway, they're big yellow cherries. And those come off in the end of June.
Now, is it the same with cherries as far as, you know, when they're picked? Like I'll go to a store and I'll see some different varieties of cherries. I'll just say which is the sweetest. And does it really make a difference? I mean,
well, once again, I truly believe it is very much the same with cherries as it is with the peaches up here. We believe we have a very special piece of agricultural ground here in Colorado. There are a special eco-climates here which allow, once again, these trees to go dormant and the sugars to remain high because of the elevation and the photosynthesis that takes place in the mountains here. And the cherries, once again, if you tree ripen them and you water them and they get good sun, and they go to sleep in the winter, and you have very good soils, you're going to make a good product, and that's why our cherries are so sweet. There are other cherries in the valley that aren't quite so sweet, and I think it has to do with the fact they pick them too early.
Uh-huh.
They don't have the same elevations that we do. They don't have the volcanic soil, and they don't have the different air currents that run through our particular, what we think is a very special piece of ground, which is why we purchase our properties right here in Palisade. It's different. It's just different, and that's why I think we have the best peaches in America. It just is a different growing condition.
Now, when they have places like, you know, pick your own cherries or whatever, I mean, when they'll say to you, go down this particular row, but will you be able to look at, you know, the average person say, oh, this is a nice ripe one and should be sweet?
No, I don't think the average person's going to know. It takes, just like anything else, it takes an educated touch and feel. And that's one thing that I have here in my foreman, Arturo. He has been with us for 10 years. He comes from Mexico with 17 of his relatives, and they've been coming here for 10 years, and they come to the same place and harvest for us every single year. But it's just like a winemaker or a gardener or anything else. He has a natural feel, a natural green thumb. He knows, he can go look at a peach and tell when it's ready to pick, and that is so crucial to our success, is knowing when to pick the fruit. But no, you're not going to know if you're just a layperson.
So, in other words, like when you go to farms and do the, I always think they should have a nose farm so you can go pick your own nose. But but then again, yeah. So when you're going to the farms, do you think like a lot of them will have you can either pick your own. Or if you go to the stand itself, they can have them in, like, buckets or whatever. And do you think, like, is it out of the fun of picking it? Or do you think, like, the ones that have been picked that you're probably better off with because they know what to pick?
Yeah, there's no question that the You Pick It farms are 100% for the experience. And the reason that we don't do the You Pick It is twofold. One, There's a lot of legalities anymore involved with, you know, people going into an orchard and tripping into a furrow and breaking their ankle, or, you know, being allergic to peach fuzz or whatever, you know. So that's the number one reason that we don't allow people to pick in our orchards. But the other reason is when people don't know how to pick, they can be very destructive to the trees. And once again, they'll be picking fruit that's not ripe and probably go home with it and go, well, that wasn't very good. So, yeah, we want to make sure that our consumers get the best, and so we pick it for them. And, you know, many, many times when I'm working my little country store, consumers will come in and say, I'd like to have, you know, a box of peaches. And I'll say, well, here's your choice. Pick them. They said, no, you pick them. You know better. You pick them. And, you know, those people are smart because they're right. I do know. And they're going to be much better. It's like I do this at restaurants all the time, you know, when there's the waiter will come up and say, we have these specials of the evening. And I'll say, well, what do you recommend? You know, you've tasted it. And he'll say, well, this is really the best of the kitchen. I'm always going to take that, okay, even if it's something I've never had before, but I'd like to try. The other is when there is a special and they'll say, how would you like that cooked? And I'll say, the chef's recommendation, because I know the chef knows the way it's supposed to be cooked. So that's the way I feel about fruit, too.
I'll remember this when I go to the next restaurant, too.
Well, I think you'll have a better experience from here out for the rest of your life. You know, I really do. I mean, if they give you a list of specials, and, you know, three of them are definitely things you just don't like, you know, if they're clams or, you know, mussels, or they're, you know, items that you just wouldn't order anyway, then you probably don't take a chance. But they say there's a chicken or a fish or a steak or some kind of special selection that evening, and it's a new preparation you've never had before, but it sounds really good because you like the main course, you're going to say sure. And then, of course, they're going to say, well, do you want it char-broiled, or do you want it baked, or, you know, whatever. And I would say whatever the chef recommends. I've never been disappointed.
I'm definitely going to look into that. Of course, I've also had, I mean, to get away from the orchard thing, but I've also had an occasion, another thought, like, you know, all of a sudden they have, let's just say they have bluefish on the menu as a special, and they're recommending the bluefish. And I'm thinking that what might have happened was, the chef said, go buy me some halibut. And the guy says, wait, this isn't halibut. You bought bluefish. Come on, push it, push it. Now we have all this bluefish.
Well, that's true. But if you're a good judge of character anyway, I think, you know, I'll usually ask a couple of questions. If they say bluefish is what's on the menu, I might ask, you know, they're going to give you a description of how it's cooked also. But if I've never had bluefish before, then I'm probably not going for it. But if I have had bluefish and it's been excellent, it's something I'd like to try again, I might ask a few more questions about how it's prepared, if they haven't already explained it. Or I might ask the waiter, have you tried it?
That's
and
yeah.
They'll say yes or no, and if they say no, I might skip to the next thing if he's recommending it. If they say yes, I'm going to say, well, did you like it? They can't lie. You can see their body language. And sometimes you have to ask more than one question if you're, you know, if it's something you're not sure about. You might have to delve a little bit further. But just ask ask the same questions that you would ask your mother, you know, when she's trying to serve you a dish you've never had before. And you say, well, have you tried it? And she says, well, no, this is the first time I've ever made it. Well, then I'd kind of want to know. You know, I'd ask the same questions that I'd ask anybody else at a restaurant.
Then there's also, have you ever noticed somebody who'll taste something and go, ooh, this is really awful. Here, try it. You taste it.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm gonna say, yeah, right. Well, that sounds like my husband. Oh God, don't let him say I said that. I am always the I have to be the did you ever see on what was the movie Indiana Jones when they always had the monkey taste the I think they were cherries or plums or walnuts or something like that. And they always made the monkey taste it first. And if the monkey lived, then Indiana Jones would eat it. But if the monkey didn't live, remember, the monkey died in the movie?
Yeah.
And so he knew he shouldn't have, he's lucky he made the monkey eat it first. That's what I am at my house. I'm the monkey. I have to taste all the wine first.
Well, maybe I'll invest in bringing a monkey with me to the restaurants that I review.
Yeah, there you go.
I never thought of it that way. Of course, I could always bring my cat and just see if she barfs it up afterwards.
Excuse me, Meryl, can you hang on just 1 second? I need to give some instructions to my foreman.
Oh,
just 1 second, okay?
Go ahead, of course.
Okay, 1 second.
Sure.
Yeah, but the Panapacks on top, right below it. There's a whole bin.
Okay, we ran out of plastic wrap to wrap the pellets, so I needed to tell him where to find some more.
Okay, that's okay. That's fine. This is not extremely formal.
Okay, well, I know it definitely isn't now.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing about being the one to taste the wines, especially, because my husband has a very educated wine palate, and mine is more simple, but I have a tendency to be able to pick up some of the flavors that he doesn't, because his palate is so sophisticated that I think it's very trained, okay? And so he only picks up certain things, and since I'm a little more open to other things, I tend to enjoy a larger variety of wine, I think. But anyway, back to wine tasting. Even though he'll open a bottle of wine and he'll say, "Here, you taste it first," because I'm supposed to tell him whether it's corked or, you know, I'm the monkey. But I've learned a lot, you know, by being the one to taste things and say, "Well, I think this tastes good or it doesn't," and then I'll let him taste it, and then he'll come back with, "Hi, you're right," or, "No, I think that's the way that wine's supposed to taste," or something like that. But anyway, I don't mind being the wine taster.
Have you been to Two Rivers?
I have. Two Rivers is one of my very favorite wineries in Colorado, and as a matter of fact, I think it's the premier winery in Colorado at this point in time.
Well, Bob is going to be on next week.
Okay.
I found it. I've never heard anybody do a wine tasting the way he did in terms of, I guess, and it's just boiling down to explaining when you're tasting red wines of a whole different type of tasting and where to taste it.
Correct.
I never heard that before. So he's mm-hmm. going to be on to explain it while I have a bottle of red wine or a glass of red wine in front of me and tasting. So that'll be... Yeah, quite interesting, and I'll be.
Well, one thing that you might find interesting about Bob Witham's interview is that some of the grapes that he puts into his wine come from our vineyards.
Oh, cool!
So there's a little crossover there. You might ask him what he thinks about High Country Orchard's peach salsa.
Oh, okay.
Because he likes that too. But anyway, yes, I know Bob and Billy very well, and as I mentioned, I do believe that they make some of the best wines in Colorado.
What would you suggest that I didn't know how to use the peach salsa other than what I just threw in with chicken. Yeah, I have any other ideas of how to
Sure. I'll give you ideas. And as you mentioned, the spicy wasn't really hot, and
yeah.
That's why I called it spicy rather than hot. If you have the hot, you know, it's going to be a little bit hotter than the spicy salsa. But once again, I like to describe my products in a way that the consumer will get what the package says so that they're not surprised one way or the other. But what I have three varieties of salsa. One is just the regular peach, and one is the spicy, and the other is hot. They all have jalapenos in it. They're just to a different degree. So the salsas all basically taste the same. They just finish hotter. So if you know what I mean, it's not a Tabasco hot or one of those habanero hots. What it is it's a spice, but it's got a little heat at the end, which gives it the zip. And that's why I think it's really good for cooking. And I have to say that the number one way that I eat the peach salsa is with chips. And usually what happens is I open a jar while I'm making the entree, and I'll open a bag of chips, and I end up eating the jar of salsa before I get to the entree, and then I end up having to open another jar of salsa. But that's a really good way to sell a lot of salsa.
Oh, yeah.
It's to suggest that people open a jar of chips while they're making the entree. But the entrees that I have found the best success with the salsa are, one, I like to use it over grilled a flaky white fish. So a halibut or a even a swordfish would be okay. Halibut, swordfish, and sea bass is my favorite. And after I grill the fish, I put the fish in a piece of tin foil on some butter on the tin foil, and then I will put the fish right on the tin foil and put this directly onto the grill with the butter on the bottom, and then I salt and pepper it, and I'll just dice up some jalapenos and some cilantro, squeeze of lime, and then I cup the tin foil around the fish and put about a half a bottle of white wine, not quite, but maybe a couple cups of white wine, and then just put the grill down and grill it for about 20 minutes, and it'll be like grilled basted. Then I'll take that fish off, and when I want to serve it, I'll just pour some salsa on top of it. It's excellent on the white fish. It's also really good on Texas steak. And then, of course, over grilled chicken. Just after you grill the chicken, another thing that's one of the products that I think is really good that I have over the chicken and on salmon is the jalapeno, peach jalapeno preserve. After the entree is just about 5 minutes away from being completed, either the white fish or the salmon or the chicken, you put this on sort of as a glaze, the jalapeno peach, and then pull it off the grill, and it's fabulous. You can do it, the salsa that way also.
Wow. And as far as I'm going to get hungry again after this. And what about the preserves?
Okay, I make six varieties of preserve. I make a Palisade peach, Palisade peach amaretto, and Palisade peach jalapeno. So those are the three peach varieties. Sorry, I'm getting my peas and my... It's been a long day here at the orchard. And then I also make a Bing cherry, which has big whole cherries in it, and it's absolutely fabulous. And I make an apricot and a plum. And all of the fruits that go into my products, including the salsa, is homegrown, estate-grown, on our properties. I control the quality of all the fruit and the vegetables that are grown in the garden. The jalapenos and the peppers and the onions and the tomatoes that go into my salsa are all homegrown, which is why,
goodness.
Yeah, that's why the flavor of the salsa is there.
Wow. And
I make it myself, believe it or not.
Wow, that is so good. So and in terms of the peach preserves, I mean, should I just like put them on a piece of bread and enjoy them, and just heck with anything else, or?
Well, that's the best way. I like to put the peach jalapeno on a cracker with cream cheese. That's just, I can eat a whole jar that way. The preserves are just the best on a bagel in the morning, and a toasted piece of, sourdough bread, like from San Francisco. I mean, once again, it's quality, not quantity. And my kids, who are the most finicky eaters I think I have known, growing up, they wanted grilled cheese and peanut butter and jelly, and that was about it. They wouldn't really eat anything fancy. I started making my own preserves, and now they won't eat anything that's store-bought. They won't eat any preserve that's store-bought. It has to be mom. So I think that even at this young age, they were able to recognize the quality of a homegrown product.
That's good. Now that anybody listening is probably drooling at this point, can anybody go to your website and order, or is this not a common thing?
Yes, if you can go to www.highcountryorchards.com, there's a shopping cart on there, and you can buy any and all of the preserves and salsas mixed up in any combination you want. I have what I think is a really cute gift box. It's a miniature of my large peach box, and it's got the nostalgic flair to it. And I have a lot of gift box opportunities and options for the holidays, so I'll continue to be making those available on my website year-round. Now, the peaches that I do ship, like the gift pack that you received, Meryl, those are only in season while we have fresh peaches, and we will be finishing up our harvest on Tuesday of next week. So this is the end of the fresh peach season, but we'll be back in season next July in 2009 when I will once again continue to ship fresh peaches. But in the meantime, I do have the gift packs of the homemade salsas and preserves available in gift packages for holiday gifts and things.
Oh, that's great. That'll be great. And I would, I wanted, like, just put it out there that I would highly recommend it over those catalog companies and, you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about, believe me.
Yes.
And I know that I'm, in a way, sort of competing with them because I'm selling a product that's packaged, but I'm really not competing with them because what those people do is they go out and they source products and then they put their labels on them.
Right.
And they basically manufacture high quantities. And that's basically going to be the difference between me and, you know, and nothing against the Harry and Davids of the world, but they've gotten so big that they really aren't Harry and David anymore. You know, they're just wherever they can find pears to put in a box.
Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, when I look at that and all these, I look at the guarantees. I look at the guarantees and they say, you know, like, if you don't think this is the best or blah, 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 you know, return it and what. And I look at it, I say, oh, I must try it because apparently if they're going to have that kind of guarantee, you know, it's probably good. And then I get it and I'll go, I don't know what they're talking about. It's, you
right.
know, okay, but... You know, the amount that I'm paying, I'm not getting the quality, and I'll turn around and say, I'm sorry, you know, I want my money back. And they'll say, what was wrong with it? I'll say, it just wasn't the quality that you're putting out there. You know, it wasn't worth it.
Right.
You know,
well,
yeah.
I believe it's kind of like the gift card thing. They figure most people aren't going to complain. They're not going to go through the trouble
right.
to send it back. And so that's what they're banking on. And the gift cards, the same thing. If you don't use it before it expires, they're banking on people losing them. They're banking on people not using them. They're banking on people, you know, not using them at times till they expire. That's, you know, unfortunately, it's a world of gimmicks.
Yeah, it is. And you got to watch out for it. I did talk about one with the regarding a cheesecake. There's a in Brooklyn here, and there's a company called Junior's. There's a restaurant called Junior's. It always had this big thing about their cheesecake. And the guy got all high and mighty and sent out brochures. And it said, if this isn't the best cheesecake you ever sank your teeth into, we'll refund your money, no questions asked. And I thought, wow. I mean, I don't remember trying Junior's cheesecake, but I can't imagine it's better than this particular one that's not far from my house. And so I ordered cheesecake, and I called them up. They were asking questions. They had the owner call me, and the owner couldn't believe. He said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I don't know. I said, it's just not the best cheesecake I ever ate. I mean, and we're talking very pricey. It was twice the price of, you know, the cheesecakes. And he was going to come and pick up the cheesecakes. Even. And I thought, so why say no questions asked?
Yeah.
He was just, you know, so I wound up what I wound up doing is writing an article called Are Guarantees Guaranteed?
Right.
You know, but anyway, but I just want everybody to know I've tried, you know, your stuff and absolutely recommend it. It was, yes, it's Peachy Keen.
All right. Well, I certainly enjoyed having you come to the orchards and have a firsthand look at how we do things, and you can vouch for the fact that we're family operated, and I just really appreciate you letting me have the opportunity to be on your show and answer some of the questions that you might have or how you might be able to express to other folks out there that haven't been here what your experience was.
Sure. And is it www.highcountryorchards.com?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Thank you, Meryl.
And of course, you'll have it in an article when I get to it. Okay?
Send me a copy. Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. That was really...
Are you ready for some football?
Hey, Mallory. You can't do that. We're not ready. This is not football season. I mean, it's starting, but not, you know, for me. There's stuff going on with the New York Sharks, which I'll probably talk about, like, next week when I do the show. I don't know what happened with the Chubby Checker calling in, but I'm going to play. This is from his new CD. Let's see if I can find this here. Knock Down the Wall. So now I'm just gonna play this little ditty that he's got.
You can talk to me. You can. Always talking to you. Always walking through you. I'll never ever let you down. Always thinking of you. Oh, how much I love you. When you think of me, I can't be found. No, it's hard to see it. No, it's hard to be it. You must be careful, you must be wise. Don't you let it mess you. Come on, let me dress you. I'll help you fight the father of lies.
Coming in, you know, it's time. You know, it's has to take two commercials. So,
thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yeah, well, JetBlue. I like JetBlue. I like flying JetBlue. Let's see. Well, we're still waiting for our caller to call in. So, in the meantime, Barbara, what did you send me this time? Let's see. Okay, it says a different ending. Okay. Little Red Riding Hood is skipping through the forest road when she sees a big bad wolf crouched down behind a log. My, what big eyes you have, Mr. Wolf. The wolf jumps up and runs away. Further down the road, Little Red Riding Hood sees the wolf again, and this time he is crouched behind a bush. My, what big ears you have, Mr. Wolf. Again, the wolf jumps up and runs away. About a quarter mile down the road, Little Red Riding Hood sees the wolf again, and this time he is crouched down behind a rock. My, what big teeth you have, Mr. Wolf. With that, the wolf jumps up and screams, "Will you knock it off? I'm trying to take a shit." Well, she didn't write down shit. She actually wrote poop. But shit is funnier. Okay. Well, that was very cute, but not as funny as the thing about the dogs and cats. Maybe I'll post that. I think I'm going to print that out and put that up. Just to see if any my friends, you know, who come over, like, notice it on the refrigerator and bother to say something. Or if Mallory bothers to say something. Now, I don't know what's happening here. I wonder if I'm having I can be having a difficulty here because I had one person calling in. So I don't know what the story is. I'll wait a little while here, and then maybe what I should probably do is I'll use my cell phone and call the spa and see what's going on. You know, I can do that. I can do that while I'm on the air. Oh, look at that! Just as I said that, as it turns out, the spa is calling in. And so, let's get them on the air.
Hello?
Okay, guys.
How
you're on
are
the
you?
Air. Who do I got?
This is Barbara.
Barbara.
And Mari.
Yeah. You're all there?
We're trying to figure.
Hello, Meryl. I'm here.
Hello.
How are you?
Just fine. All right, so let me tell everybody first that we're talking to BodyWise Holistic Spa.
Yep.
And we have, do I have all three of you?
You have me and Barbara from
Soul Skincare.
Yeah, Mary is still doing a treatment.
Okay. So, in the meantime, so Barbara, why don't you talk, let's get this first. To talk about the spa itself.
Okay.
So,
Mari?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here. Mari, tell her about your spa. Okay, why don't you tell me, Meryl? You had an experience.
Oh,
here,
yes.
So.
It was just joyous. I was, like, absolutely so thrilled. My body felt absolutely great afterwards. Because one of the things, and I'll like ask you, I was going in, I have your brochures.
Right.
Yes.
And I was trying to look on them to see exactly which one, which of the things that I had.
You had the blueberry bliss. That's the treatment that you had.
Is that on the, wait a minute, blueberry, it says on here?
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, Meryl. That's the seasonal one. You had the cranberry one.
Okay, so I had that.
Very beautiful for the body. That's the one you had. It's on the back of the brochure.
Okay. I'm looking on the thing there. Trees.
It has cranberry, pomegranate, blueberry.
Not the one that says, there's one that says very beautiful for the body?
That's the one you had. Exactly.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay. And I'll describe it. Oh, you describe it. Describe what the very beautiful for the body is.
Well, it hydrates and it polishes at the dull skin, and it has antioxidant powerhouses of cranberry and pomegranate, and it's like a sugar scrub, and it's made by Eminence. Everything is organic. The aromatic experience is very calming and hydrating, and is toning. And we have a body wrap to enrich and moisturize and firm the skin. And then you finish the session. We finish the session with you with a head-to-toe nastaberry and a blueberry souffle Swedish massage.
Now, when I'm coming in there, let's say I'm popping in there and I say, I would like something, please, recommend something. Will you, kind of ask me a bunch of questions, or what kind of questions will you ask?
Yes, we will ask you questions, and we don't have any rules at BodyWise, so everything is customized to the customer needs. So we have very experienced massage therapists, and as soon as they walk into the room, they ask them specific questions, and then they customize the treatment per customer.
Oh.
So it's not like we have a set rule here.
Oh, okay. So sometimes it could be exactly the way it is printed on the menu or
right.
With a change.
Exactly. They customize it to your needs.
Okay.
They may use a different body lotion than the one that they say they're using in the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the spa itself. What is available? What type of things is available at the day spa?
Well, we have different things available. We have Reiki, we have Amatherapy, Swedish, and of course deep tissue massages. We have reflexology. We also have craniosacral therapy, and also myofascial releases. Also, we do prenatal massages, and we have add-ons like a hands and feet retreat or a lavender and lemon aid. And then also like the treatment that you just got done. We use different fruits and vegetables and everything is organic. We don't use any chemicals at BodyWise.
That's probably why I felt so good.
Yeah. And then you have the facials, which range from...
Yeah. So let's get into the facials. First I want to talk about that. This whole
they
thing
are wonderful.
Oh yeah, Barbara, your what's the word that you use? Your calling.
Calling.
Tell us about how you got into this and the type of thing that you're doing that's different.
Okay, how I got into this was actually I wanted to go into massage therapy, but I was out of school for a long period of time and decided, well, maybe I'll try, aesthetics. So I got into aesthetics and I started getting into the facial portion of the class, and I decided I really love this. I'm a dancer. I've been a dancer since I was a young child, and I found that I can dance with my hands. All right, and then I just applied moisturizer differently than everybody. I just created my own facial therapy, I call it, facial therapy. And one day we had a woman come in that, you know, was a representative for Eminence Organic Products, and she started working, and I remember looking at her working with the products that amazed me, because they're jars of different products that need to be blended, so it was like being a chef. It was very creative and freeing. And then I thought, oh, my God, this is exactly what I want to do. And then when I was out of school, I chose that product to work with, and I ran with it.
That's great. And you do something when you're well, here's the best way to do this. What I want you to do is describe exactly. Now, I had the one that said that Kissed by the Sun. Is that the one?
No, you actually, no, that is a vitamin C, but you had vitamin C for the soul.
Okay.
I did wanted to, since we only had 45 minutes together, I wanted to really give you something that you would definitely see a difference in your skin. The quickest treatment that I had that I had to do in 45 minutes that I felt was the best suited for your skin was the vitamin C for the soul. How'd you do with it after?
That's the whole thing that I was surprised about. I think it was the first time that I've had a facial where I wasn't reacting afterwards.
Oh, good.
Because I tend to find, and I don't know whether, you know, but then again, I think that seems to happen a lot, that when you have a facial,
right,
not that you react, but your skin does something afterwards because you've cleaned it or whatever.
Right.
And this time it looked like the comments when I went back to Danford's.
Right.
And they looked, they said, that your face looks absolutely great, you know. And I looked at it and I said, it really, like, looks like
that I
had a facial. So what I want you kind of to do is describe, like, step by step on kind of what you did, especially with that thing with the yin-yang, whatever.
You know? Yeah. I call it a prayer wheel. I just, you know how it came about was just doing facials, and one time, a couple of times, I have people that like to chat a lot, and I really get into what I do, and I kind of want them to just relax. So my intention is to calm them. So I created this prayer wheel that I do, sort of a spiral on the chin, a spiral on the forehead, and then I kind of go around the face with both hands, but at equal, you know, time. I don't know how to describe it. I actually was teaching people when I was a teacher at one of these schools on Long Island here, and I taught a lot of my students it. So there are people out there doing it, but I called it a prayer wheel. And the minute I do it, it brings people just to a state of they say trance-like.
Yeah.
State, where they just become so peaceful and it just puts them out. It's great.
Yeah, it was. It was great. I mean, that plus, and describe, like, what you were doing, like, kind of step by step in terms of my face.
Okay. Well, at first, I always, you know, write you in, put your iPads on, and check out the skin you're in. I see what it needs. If you're dehydrated, if whatever, you need a little pep. I may add a little spice into your face just to get the stimulation going, just to wake up the epidermis, get the blood flowing again, wake up the fibroblasts in the dermis, send out some collagen to the face, you get a plumping, lifting feeling. But with all the iPads, it starts out with the iPads, and I analyze your skin, and I go from there. A lot of it is intuitive. As I go, I may plan when I first meet you to do something, and as I'm going along, I just get a different feel for it, and I switch it up that second.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, are you? So first, in other words, basically, you're cleaning the skin, and then you're.
Yes. Right. I analyze, then I'll cleanse the skin. I usually do the facial massage before I use any granular exfoliation. After I massage the face, then I'll do the exfoliation, and there's many different types of exfoliation that I do. And then after that, it depends. I may do a treatment before extraction. I may do a facial therapy treatment after an extraction. It depends. That all depends on what I see when I'm done.
Right.
With the exfoliation. And depending on what type of skin, the condition your skin is in.
Okay, so then you're applying, so in other words, you keep applying different things and taking
right.
off and...
Blending masks. I may use Stonecrop if you're dehydrated and you have a lot of hyperpigmentation, you need extra hydration. I have a product with Stonecrop in it. I have so many different treatments. I have offer 12 different specialty organic facials and 3 basic organic facials. We just brought in a new machine also, the IPL, the Intense Light. We do facial rejuvenation now. We have a microcurrent machine that works out the muscles of the face that we don't really work out.
Uh-huh.
So you can actually combine the intense pulse light, which works out the tissue, the epidermis, and then 3 days, 4 days later, a week later, do the microcurrent, which actually works on what your skin lies on, your muscle of the face.
Cool.
Yeah. We have a lot of new things coming as well. Microdermabrasion, lots of different stuff.
Wow.
Crystal-free microdermabrasion. We don't use crystals here.
I'm going to have to come back.
Yeah, come on back.
We want you, Meryl, here.
Yes, you gotta try all the massage therapists. You have no idea. Every single one of them here have a gift to offer. Every single one of them. This is a place that you can walk into and you know that you are getting. You're going to be satisfied.
I was really, it's not that I, okay, I have to say surprised, because it was like, okay, you know, I'm hoping, you know, that when I get off the, when I finish the massage that my back doesn't hurt, because that
right.
did happen once, or, you know, and the thing regarding the face that I don't, you know, get blotches like, you know, 2 hours later.
Right.
And it was a wonderful experience. And
great.
I hope you guys really do well.
We are, definitely.
Yeah.
We're a team. We're here because we love what we do.
Yeah.
And it shows, I think you know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And how long have you guys been open there?
Well, we have been open for 7 years.
Okay. And, so in other words, what happened is there was a change of what? Just a change of?
Yes.
Ownership?
Yes. It was a change of ownership for about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. And are you expanding?
Definitely. We are going to be expanding. That's in the future. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's not as if it's, you know, I mean, I think I saw, like, you had, like, what, like 5 or 6 treatment rooms?
Yes.
At the
and
point?
Actually, if you cannot even make it here, we will come to you.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's interesting. Now, how would you do that? How would you kind of do that? You'd have to bring a table, right?
Right, we bring
yeah.
a table, we bring a tent, we make it really nice and comfortable for the clients, and we do corporate events, parties, bachelorette parties at their place. It depends what they want.
I'm getting some ideas.
Oh, yes, that's you, Meryl.
Yeah, I always do. Well, that's great, you know, because... I don't know. Did you happen to talk to Therese from Danford's Inn?
No, actually, me and Maria are going to go next week to talk.
Okay. Because I think that the comment that she made, because I think that's what she's really interested in, is like if you did something that you went there and did the massages and facials.
We can do that too. We can do
yeah.
that, too, as well as they have a marina, and we can go to the yachts also.
Yes.
Treatments
oh,
there.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Make it more private for them if they don't feel like walking
That's
you know, if
true.
You broke away, we'll just go to them.
Yes, or even when they're having their corporate events, you set up a tent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, my mind keeps thinking of things. Don't worry. That's what happens when I do public relations for the New York Sharks.
Yeah, I know.
I expand into, you know, thinking about, you know, how other people can expand their, to kind of, you know, get the word out. After the show, I'll talk to you about it because I have a few other ideas, and I'll tell you about that. Mary she's in the middle of doing something?
Yes, she's doing a massage right now.
Okay, it's okay.
Mary's wonderful.
She was the one who made my body feel good.
She's the prenatal massage therapist that is just unbelievable. A lot of women come to see her during the week.
That's great.
Yes, and she has a collection of baby pictures in an app photo album of all the babies that were born from the moms that came to see her.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I also just kind of want to put out there so people can understand, like, where you are. I mean, this is the Internet, you know, and, of course,
right.
The whole world is listening.
Right.
But for people who live in New York City and Long Island, if they don't want to drive, I mean, you got the Long Island Railroad.
That's right.
And it'll take you, you'll have to hop a cab.
Right.
Port Jefferson Station. You'll have a cab and just get it. Or for people, let's say that people in Connecticut can actually drive over, go on to the ferry.
Yeah.
And they're right in Port Jeff, and park your car. I guess, if you don't get the street park, there's enough places to park.
Oh, yeah, they have a parking, two parking lots that you can park into.
Yeah.
And then we're located on East Main Street right next to the Port Jefferson Post Office.
Yeah, what I've been saying is that you're located on the corner of Main Street and East Main Street.
That's right. That's where we are. That's where our special place is now.
Yeah.
And you have to come back.
Oh, yeah, I definitely will. You know what what I'm thinking about doing, because I was I'll wait till they finish fixing things on the Long Island Railroad.
Oh, yeah,
so it's like it, to me. I mean, I could I got onto the subway, and the subway takes me right to the Jamaica Station, and I hop there, and I'm in Port Jeff.
Yes.
And it's not that expensive to do that. And so I think, you know, what I'm going to do is I want to see about not only coming back there, but like maybe do some more on Port Jefferson, maybe go to a different restaurant or focus a little more or go outside of Port Jefferson in the surrounding area.
Right.
You know, and do some stuff. And, we'll put out the information. We've got to get you out there.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah. Meryl, before you hang up, I have someone that wants to say hello to you.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hello, Meryl. This is Maria.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, just fine.
That's great. And you're feeling good after your great day here at Body Wise?
Yes, it was just fabulous. It was just, it was great. I mean, I don't want to say I never enjoyed. I mean, it's different. Different, and, you know, I was commenting on, this was, I think, the first time I had a facial where I didn't have a reaction afterwards.
Right, well, that's great. Well, I actually just wanted to get on, say hello to you.
Yeah.
Tell you to thank you for coming in and visiting with us, but as the office manager and past experiences as executive director for sales and marketing, I just wanted to say a few words about BodyWise and what they are all about and what our goal is as far as growing the business. And when people come in here, they tell us each and every time, especially our new clients, that they've been to other places and never have experienced what they've experienced here at BodyWise. What we want to do is embrace each client that walks in and give them an experience they've never had before. And we want them to walk away and feel like they just want to keep coming back and experience all the new things and all the new services that we'll be adding to the menu. And we are also, we've got such amazing feedback. And that key word, amazing, it seems to be what everyone describes their experience to be. To watch these people walk in and then after their experience walk out, and just to see that glow on their face and just the amazement. And when we ask them to describe their experience, the only word that they can think of is amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yes, it is.
So we want BodyWise to be known as an amazing experience, and we want BodyWise to be known as the place that will embrace you for that one-time experience you'll never forget, even if you're just coming off the ferry from Connecticut and you're visiting here just one time, you'll never forget BodyWise.
And
that's what we want people to remember.
Definitely agree. And now, in terms of the website, by the way,
yes.
The BodyWise Way, is that the, or?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it's thebodywiseway.com, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And look for all the new things that we'll be adding to the website as well, and Barbara has her own website as well. Barbara, what is your website again?
SoulSkincare.com.
SoulSkincare.
We'll probably be linking them shortly.
Okay, yes.
We'll
I have that separate brochure. So it's Soul, S-O-U-L.
Yes.
SoulSkincare.
You bet.
.com. Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, and after I'm going to end the show now, and I'll call you because I'm going to tell you some ideas that I have.
Yes, and please look for our testimonials. We have a lot of clients that are going to be writing in their testimonials. So, if nothing will sell you, testimonials definitely will, and they are very excited to even do that for us, and I think that's going to be something that will let everybody know what we're all about, let them hear it from the customers. Okay, I'm going to give you back to Mari so she can say goodnight. It was wonderful speaking with you, and everyone who's listening, please come on down and say hello.
Okay.
Okay, we won't disappoint you. Hold on.
Bye-bye. Yeah, guys, so.
All right, Meryl.
Yeah. All right, the show is going to end in about 1 minute, so.
All righty.
I'll call you right after the show.
Give us a call back.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh yes. I'm gonna be back there. That's it was just a wonderful experience. And the show is going to end, and so here we go.
Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone.
I know you're the host of the show. I understand. I got it.
Hello? 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 Hello?